Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And every year when we do a cruise, it is so incredibly exciting to meet people face-to-face who are listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're going on a Western Caribbean cruise this year, and we're focusing on the Word of God. And I can tell you, I am falling in love with the Bible all over again this year as I'm reading through the Word of God, particularly the instruction that I get from the Word of God to know wisdom and instruction, says Solomon, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools hate wisdom and instruction. If you are not in the Word of God, you are just flat missing it. Right now I'm reading through Ecclesiastes, and it's talking about the utter futility and folly of hoarding riches. What's the point? You came naked into the world, you're going to leave naked. So don't hoard your wealth. Use your wealth, because the only joy in wealth is not the accumulation of it, but the process itself. The joy of exercising the very gift that God has inculcated into you, given to you. So enjoy the process, because if you're a believer, God gives your life the meaning and the purpose and the fulfillment that your life was intended to have. We're going to be talking about all of that and so much more on the Caribbean cruise. If you don't know about it, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But before the cruise, we are going to be involved in a battle for the Bible 2010 CRI National Conference. And one of the primary speakers is my good friend Lee Strobel. He is an apologist for the 21st century. He's a new breed of apologist that is not concerned with demonstrating his mental acumen or winning arguments. He wants to use his well-reasoned argument to win people so that his kingdom might be expanded for time and for eternity. Lee joins me right now as we talk for a few moments about the Battle for the Bible Conference. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm really excited about this conference because I guess there is no time in history like today, a time in which we have so many Bibles, and yet the Bible is significantly under siege.
It really is. I mean, we're seeing it in classrooms of universities, even high schools, being under attack. We're seeing documentaries. We're seeing, of course, books by atheists, websites, and very aggressive atheists online that attacking the faiths of Christians. I was on a devotional site recently where Christians were just gathering online to talk about God and their growth, and atheists, of course, jumped in and blasphemed and tried to attack the Bible and the reliability of the Word of God. And so we're seeing a lot of aggression and a lot of attacks lately, and that's why I think, Hank, it's so important for this Battle for the Bible Conference, May 6th through 8th, that you're going to be doing down in Tampa. I'm really thrilled about it because it's an opportunity to talk about not just what Christians believe about the Bible, but why we believe it, why we're convinced that it is not merely just a collection of ancient writings, but it is the inspired Word of God. And the difference it makes in our lives, as you just mentioned, learning day-to-day, the wisdom that we acquire as we study it. But beyond that, the way it points us toward Christ, toward salvation, toward grace, toward eternal life. And so I'm excited about it, and we even have, as I understand it, Hank, there's going to be a debate between James White and a Jesus Seminar scholar. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's part of the intrigue because, you know, it's one thing to say we have the answers. It's another thing to put the answer to the test.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, pagans are going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans. They're going to be skeptics who disbelieve. That's what pagans do. That's what you did, Lee.
Absolutely.
Prior to coming to faith in Christ.
Absolutely. I used to have a bunch of little Bible conundrums in my pocket that I used to throw in the face of Christians when I would meet them to try to fluster them and make them doubt their own faith. And that's typical of many scoffers and mockers of Christ. But as you say, you know, we do have solid reasons to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm looking forward to the debate because James White, who's going to be debating and representing the Christian side, is of course a very astute scholar, and the non-believer, the skeptic on the panel, Robert Price, is someone I had on my television show back when I did Faith Under Fire. He's a member of the Jesus Seminar, and he is so left-wing that I think he falls off the continuum on the left side. But he takes a very kind of radical approach, and I think he's even skeptical that Jesus even existed. And, of course, he doesn't believe that the Bible is trustworthy as a Word of God. So that's going to be fun. And then you and I get to speak on topics related to the reliability of Scripture, why we believe what we believe. I'm going to be talking about the resurrection. I'm going to be talking about these claims that mythology is the source that the Bible writers drew from in writing about Jesus, and supposedly these other examples of crucified and risen saviors through history. I'm going to be talking about Bart Ehrman and his claims that the New Testament is pockmarked with inaccuracies and intentional changes by scribes through the centuries. I'm going to be talking about the Gnostic Gospels and why we don't trust those, the Gospel of Thomas and so forth, but why is it that we trust the ones that are in Scripture? So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be stimulating. And Hank, I really think in this day and age when the Bible is under such attack, I'm hoping people come with the attitude not only of growing and learning themselves so that they can interact with people and defend the Bible, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us we should, but, you know, we've all got kids and grandkids, many of us anyway, and, you know, there's a new generation coming up, and we need to be equipped to be able to prepare them for the challenges that they're going to face. I mean, I think of my little two granddaughters and how they're learning the sort of a basic catechism right now and trying to memorize things and learn about the Word of God. And I think about my own children. And we can have tremendous influence on our families, and yet we have to be prepared. So I'm hoping people can come not only for themselves, not only for the people that they're going to meet along the way who they could share the information that they receive, but for their own families and for the benefits of, you know, generations to come.
And that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to inoculate students. This is not something just for parents. This is for the whole family. Early registration for the conference begins at an incredibly low rate of just $49 per person. It's at the beautiful Innisbrook Resort in Tampa Bay, Florida. Bart Ehrman, who you just mentioned, Lee, is particularly proud of shaking the faith of a lot of his students. He says many of them think they're not going to be shaken, but by the end, they are shaken in their faith. As a result of these kinds of conferences, you can anticipate the shaking and you can stand firm in the midst of the wind.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he's not the only university professor whose goal it is to shake the faith of his students. I think there's a positive side to that, Hank, and I think that is that it does prompt us to really begin to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to have a laissez-faire kind of faith. I'm not just going to lean back and be on the defensive. I'm going to want to learn. I'm going to want to grow. And so I think what this is causing us to do, the people like Bart Ehrman and others who've attacked the faith in the Bible, it's kicking a giant. It's waking up the church. And that's a positive thing. And I really foresee a golden era of apologetics. I see average people in the pews for the first time wanting to learn why it is we believe what we believe. And that's all good. And I think this conference, as you say, is going to prepare people for the challenge they may receive along the way, their children may receive, and, you know, to use us in this culture as a force for good.
Well, Lee, you got me amped up. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. We're going to have a great time together.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to seeing you and all the folks that are going to be showing up. It's going to be a great conference down in Tampa.
Bless you, Lee. Thanks for joining us.
And God bless you.
We want everybody to join us in Tampa Bay, Florida. Again, it's May 7th through the 8th, Mother's Day. Mothers are going to have a great time. We got special activities for you. Dads are going to be able to play golf. My son Hank is going to be there. You want to see a golfer? There's a golfer. He's absolutely incredible. If you can hit it within 50 yards of him, it'll be a miracle. Trust me, I'm trying. All of it takes place again Friday, May 7th and 8th. Sign up today. Go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. And we're going to be right back in just a few moments with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologist Lee Strobel, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And right back to our callers. Vivian is first up, listening on WMCA in New Jersey, or Jersey City, New Jersey. Hi, Vivian.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your program. My question is, how do I prove to my 16-year-old niece that the Bible is reliable because it's the true word of God?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to demonstrate it. And this is the beauty of the word of God. It is demonstrably divine rather than merely human in origin. And you can demonstrate that in a lot of different ways. First of all, God has marvelously preserved his word through manuscripts. If you look at the way that the manuscripts have been preserved, you see that the word has been preserved in the manuscripts. For example, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered between 1947 and 1956 in 11 caves overlooking the lowest spot on Earth, what were discovered is texts that predated the earliest extant text, the Masoretic text, by 1,000 years. So you have a 1,000-year time span, a millennium, to see how well the words have been preserved over time. And you find differences in spelling and style, but no difference in substance. So the message has been preserved intact. Same thing can be said with respect to the New Testament. There's more manuscript evidence for the New Testament than any other book of antiquity. So the manuscripts themselves bear eloquent testimony to the fact that God has preserved his word over time. But you also see the same thing in archaeology. With every turn of the archaeologist's spade, you find more and more evidence for the veracity of Scripture, that the details and the descriptions are exactly as the Bible says they are. So what we find in the ground corroborates what we find in the text of Scripture. And then you have this incredible dynamic of prophecy where the prophets make predictions about what is going to happen in the future. And those predictions are fulfilled with minute precision. And when you look at these prophecies, you can't pawn them off to luck or good guessing or even common sense. You have to say, only God could have enlightened the prophets so that they could have prophesied what would happen in the future. You also have this whole idea of scriptural synergy where the Bible is complete and consistent within itself so that the Bible never contradicts itself. All of these factors make the Bible unique and set it apart from any other religious writing. If you look at the Quran, it is rife with factual error. It is also rife with ethical error. If you look at the Book of Mormon, it has been completely disproven through DNA evidence, not to mention archaeological evidence. So the Bible really stands apart from other religious writings and demonstrates that it is indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And therefore, we can rightly say it is our authority. Now, I've written about this in various places. In fact, I'm writing a book on it even as we speak. But in short, I have written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Vivian, thank you for your call, and God bless you and your family. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Jim. He's listening on WBTI in Maine. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Am I on?
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. Mm-hmm. I've been a... Hold on, let me get into another room. Sorry.
That's all right. I can hear you through the kids.
Okay.
You know, I'm the father of a lot of kids, so I hear this all the time.
My question is, it has to do with, I read your book, The Covering.
Yeah.
And, well, I've been having a problem with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And how would I go about using The Covering in relation to that?
Well, I actually talk about that in The Covering, where I point out that it's not enough to have the Word of God in your home or in your hand. You have to learn to deftly wield it on the battlefield of life. Okay. And that means that you mine the Scripture and that you memorize the Scripture and you meditate on the Scripture, because what you put into your mind is what is going to be manifest in your life. So if you have an addiction to pornography, and it is a very addictive practice, then you need to make certain that you are meditating on the Word of God so that the Word of God begins to penetrate your heart. I was just rememorizing some of the Proverbs I've memorized 20 years ago, and I remember in particular going through Proverbs chapter 7, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to understanding, my intimate friend, so that they may keep you from the adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her lips." And then he talks about a naive youth who wanders into the path of a harlot or an adulterous woman who is brazen and her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the street and now in the square and lurks by every corner. The whole notion of pornography is just that. It is the objectification of women and women who allow themselves to be objectified, to use their sexual prowess in a way that is not pleasing, but rather hurtful to themselves and others. And
right.
To fall into that trap is a dangerous snare. I mean, if you look at what the Proverbs say, it is chilling. Now, therefore, my son, listen to my words and do not depart from the words of my mouth. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death, or until an arrow pierces through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know it will cost him his life. So you have a severe and strong warning in Scripture. How do you heed that? Well, first of all, as I said, meditate upon the Word of God, but never forget that you cannot do this alone. You want to make sure that you're in the context of a healthy, well-balanced church with brothers who can hold you accountable, so that just as you have confessed your addiction to me, and I'm an electronic voice, you are now doing it with someone who has flesh and blood that can keep you accountable. Because if you don't have a brother to pick you up, you end up laying in the mud. You need a brother, a friend to pick you up, someone that you can be accountable to, someone that you can trust. This is really important in the process.
It mentions to, well, I know, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit.
Yes.
Are we supposed to do it like the same way?
Yes, absolutely. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God was not forged by human hands, but by the Spirit. So it is the Spirit that gives the sword its edge, and the Spirit who can teach you how to rightly use it.
Right.
And you see the Spirit in Ephesians 6 instructing Paul to take the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
So instructing him on how to use it. And the instruction, again, I give in the covering, it's meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, mining the Word of God. And this has an effect in everything that you do, including your prayer life, because meditating on the Word of God is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. So there are no silver bullets. There are no quick solutions. This takes embracing spiritual disciplines. A good football coach makes men do what they wouldn't ordinarily do so that they can become what they always wanted to be. The same thing is true with the spiritual disciplines. If you want to become Christ-like, you have to embrace the very disciplines that Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. And I'm so happy you have the covering, because that's where I lay out how to do that. How to meditate on the Word of God, how to pray, how to put on the full armor of God. Because if you don't, you are a guaranteed casualty in spiritual warfare. If you do, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. But please heed this warning. Do not try to fight this battle on your own. Make sure you do it with someone to whom you can be accountable. Be right back.
Do you use software programs to prepare taxes, store and display photos, or create playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is a brand new interactive Bible product that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. It includes the entire NIV Bible, complete with over 2,000 pictures, 700 articles, virtual reality tours, artwork, atlas, and timeline. GLOW Interactive Bible makes the Bible relevant for the digital generation. And this Thursday, we'll have the creator and publisher of GLOW in the studio with Hank to discuss the incredible features of this resource. You won't want to miss this show, so tune in. You can order your copy of GLOW today by going to our website at equip.org or contact our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of the Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom, and husbands to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? Call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and it is great to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can stand with this ministry prayerfully or financially, it would be deeply appreciated. Let us know you're standing with us. Even if you cannot support this ministry in a tangible way, let us know that you are praying for this ministry. We believe with all our hearts that prayer is firing the winning shot. And if you can stand with the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute on a monthly basis, why not join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team? You can do that by simply checking it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial the number 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Rod, listening on XM 170 in Redmond, Oregon. Hi, Rod. How you doing?
Brother Hanegraaff, thank you very much for taking my call, and I'm doing just fine, thank you. My question is from the book of Joshua, Joshua 21, 43 through 45, that says, "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. And not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." And then you turn the page to the book of Judges, and you see that there are certain tribes who did not take possession of the land, and there are still enemies in the land that have chariots. And I wonder, how do you reconcile these scriptures from Joshua with what's going on in the book of Judges?
Well, you reconcile it in that you know that there are going to be foreigners in the land. There's no question whatsoever about that whatsoever, but the land is now completely under the control of the children of Israel. In fact, at the height of the Solomonic kingdom, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. That's what the text tells us. They ate, they drank, they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. So the emphasis is on rule. And you see this being underlined by the prophets. For example, even in the aftermath of Israel's exile into Babylon, Nehemiah the prophet extolled the faithfulness of God in fulfilling the land promises he had made to the patriarchs. As the temple was being rebuilt, Nehemiah entreated the Almighty to bless Judah and return it to its former glory or dominance over the land. If there was ever a time to adjure God to fulfill an unfulfilled promise, that would have been it. And yet, instead of saying, God, please fulfill your promise, Nehemiah thanks God that God had fulfilled the promise and is also aware that God had with the promise also given a warning, which was if the people turned to the pagan ways of those who had possessed and ruled over the land, they would be vomited out in the same way that those people had been vomited out and subjugated as a result of their wickedness.
So when Joshua writes here that they took possession of it, they dwelt in it, not a word failed, if he's saying that that is as sure as the word of God. I mean, because Solomon's day was obviously still far future. So is that what he's saying? Because the word, because God has said it, it's a done deal. It is as sure as his word, even though we don't see that promise fulfilled presently.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that necessarily, because Joshua is saying himself that not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed, just as you have read in the prologue to your question. And even as the life ebbed from his body, Joshua reminded the children of Israel that the Lord had been faithful to his promises. Remember where he says, I think it's Joshua 23, you know with all your heart and your soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Nothing could be more explicit. And this is in the time of Joshua himself. All I said is that the fruition comes into full bloom under the reign of Solomon. But even that is just a foreshadowing of something far more eloquent, because the land promises were ultimately fulfilled in the far future through Jesus, who provided true Israel with permanent rest from wandering in sin. So the land was but an earnest of the real promise. The real promise was not that you are going to get a land of promise. The real promise is you are going to get a Lord of promise, the Lord who ultimately liberates us from wandering in our exile to sin as opposed to wandering in the desert.
And then our enjoyment of whether it be the land or the Lord is a conditional one, in the sense that we don't enjoy him unless we're obedient to that word.
Oh, absolutely. What a great point you're making there, because, yeah, that's the ultimate overarching principle that you find in the Old Testament: blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yonagraph. I appreciate your ministry. God bless you.
God bless you. Great insight on your part. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mario, listening on KTAA, Longview, Texas. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Mr. Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
You're always a blessing to my life.
Oh, thank you.
So, basically, I just want to celebrate Easter this year and make it as meaningful as possible for my kids. My kids are small. I have a problem understanding some of the things that I see, the rabbit and the eggs, and how do you explain that to me as far as celebrating this year?
Well, what you want to be able to do is separate wheat from chaff and heat from light, because there is a lot of paganism in the celebrations that we find in the culture. In fact, eggs associated with Easter in popular culture come from pagan tradition, where the egg is a sign of fertility and good luck. This has nothing whatsoever to do with a Christian worldview. And really what you have to realize is that our celebration of Easter is diametrically opposite from the celebration of the culture, just as the culture celebrates Christmas in a different way. When we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Jesus Christ who rose from the East. We celebrate Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. We celebrate the joy and the peace and the hope that we have through the resurrection. The pagans are celebrating and worshiping the God of luck. So you can use Easter as a wonderful opportunity to say that it is not luck that will see you through. It is Jesus Christ who will see you through. And Jesus Christ does not come to give us a panacea, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not about how we can have health and wealth in this life. No, it looks forward to eternity, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So, yeah, the paganism, unfortunately, is more and more prevalent in the culture as the culture becomes less Christian and more pagan each and every year. And the reason for that is that Christians aren't a leavening force in the culture. We become microcosms of the culture. And Jesus warned against that. He says, if the salt has lost its saltiness, how then will it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So if we are not change agents, what happens is the culture corrodes. But if we are change agents, we can turn the pagan traditions upside down with the genuine celebration of what really matters, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, ensures your resurrection as well. I've written about this in Resurrection. It's the greatest feat in history. 4x6 laminated flip chart available for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection,
From Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Most Christian families in America spend more time preparing for Christmas than preparing for Easter. Yet the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the defining event in all of human history. This month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his Feet flip chart. Pocket-sized and color-coded for easy reference, this new resource will give you a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Order your copy and learn to confidently defend the good news of our resurrected Christ. You can order your laminated flip chart today by going online to equip.org. or by calling one of our resource consultants at 1-888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to the phone lines, talk to Davida, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Davida.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I wanted you to know that our family was your show every day, and I have a very insightful 8-year-old son, and he has asked a question that we just would like to find scripturally where we can help him answer this, and it is, if Satan could make the choice to choose to, you know, be disobedient to Christ, can angels, do they still have that opportunity to do that?
Well, angels are forever able not to sin. They are those who have requisite knowledge of God. They've been growing in grace and knowledge and intimacy with their Lord throughout the eons of time. And so they don't have less knowledge, they have more knowledge, they have requisite knowledge, intimacy with God, and therefore it's inconceivable that they would ever turn away from him. Just as it is inconceivable that you would ever turn away from him. Because the more you know him, the more you love him, and the more that intimacy with him and the relationship grows. Imagine what's going to happen, Davida, after you pass on from this time-space continuum into the new heavens and the new earth. You'll be face-to-face with the Lord. As much as you love him now, you think you might love him more later on?
Unbelievably. How do you explain that as far as to a child who has always heard that, you know, Satan was, you know, or Lucifer was an angel, and you know, it's hard for children to comprehend that.
Sure, but God has created angels and humans with choice. If God hadn't done that, then the problem would be love would be meaningless. if the only way you can get your son to love you is to take a shotgun and point it at him and say, love me or else, love would be rendered meaningless. Love has to be a choice. And you can explain to your 8-year-old precocious and very insightful son, you can say to him, look, do you think your mom could ever stop loving you? He would say, of course not. Do you think that the angels could ever stop loving their Lord? Of course not. Do you think that your mom could ever stop loving the Lord? Absolutely not. Well, one day we're going to be in his presence just like the angels are, and in that day, whatever love we have right now is insignificant by comparison to the love we will have then, because now we see darkly. Then we'll see face to face. So yes, it's true that the angels had a choice. Turn from God, do it your own way, or follow God, worship and love him, have intimacy, relationship with him. A third of the angels fell with Satan. They made their choice. The others made the choice to worship God, and they have been constituted in that love and relationship. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does make sense. It makes complete sense. He's always throwing questions like that at us. And
what a great thing, though. And what I love about a mother like you is you're not going to give him a shallow answer. You're going to give him an answer that really matters. And I'll tell you how important that is. When I was a young boy, I had a lot of questions as well. And as I grew up and I started going to school and I started asking pastors and teachers questions, and they didn't have answers, I started thinking, you know what? There are no good answers, and maybe the Christian faith doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
And that's what's scary, raising children, because you know they do have so many questions, and you know that I'm not the only one they're probably asking, or my husband's not the only one that he's asking, and so it is very important. That's why we teach them, you know, anytime you have any question, we don't listen to what the preacher says, and we don't listen to what a teacher says. We find it in the Word of God. So.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah, exactly. That's what you want to do, is you want to take everything and test it in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. Davida, bless you.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling as well. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brenda, KSIV in Illinois. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
So I had a question about Genesis, the beginning. I took a class some time ago. I'm in college, and we were talking about the beginning of the world and the first two chapters in Genesis. The first one being, you know, first there was light and the whole order of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one talks of how Adam and Eve are created, and then the rest of the other things that were formed.
Yeah.
So my professor talked of things two being contradictive, and the fact that the Bible doesn't stand for itself. It's not, you know, it's contradicting itself, basically. So since I've always believed that the Bible has never contradicted itself, and I was thinking about it, and I still... What's your take on it, basically?
Well, I mean, look, first of all, it is absolutely beyond the stretching of credulity to suggest that an author is going to forget what was written within the span of a few sentences. In other words, do you think that the author is so benighted that in Genesis chapter 1 he has a particular order and he completely forgets it in Genesis chapter 2 when he gets all muddled up and goofs it up, and therefore you have a contradiction between those two chapters? Again, that stretches credulity beyond the breaking point. What's really going on is there's a sophistication of literary genres that Genesis employs. And as a result of that, a reader should immediately be alerted to the possibility of a deeper purpose within the narrative, particularly a professor. I mean, he shouldn't be that shallow with respect to literary genres. The problem in our postmodern culture is that we don't appreciate literature the way our ancestors did. We do science pretty well, but we don't do literature very well. So rather than reading for the Bible for all it's worth, what these fundamentalists from the left do is they insist on forcing the language into a literalism from which nothing but nonsense can emerge. So here's the answer to your question. A cursory reading of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is enough to discern that the author has a different purpose in mind in one chapter than he does in the other. In chapter 1, there's a hierarchy of creation. And by the way, it's memorably associated with the days of the week. In chapter 2, there's a focus on the crowning jewels of God's creation. And so you have the land depicted as barren until man arrives and cultivates it. And the animals are depicted as being created and brought to the first man in order to help him realize his need for a suitable helpmate. Of course, that culminates in the creation of Eve. But in both chapters, the depiction of a chronological order of creation is merely a literary device that is employed to facilitate the author's primary purpose, which is to reveal God's purposes in creation. So again, in Genesis chapter 1, you don't have a chronology of creation, as the professor seems to think. You have a hierarchy of creation. And you have to always remember that the language of Scripture is a heavenly condescension so that we can apprehend both the nature and purposes of an infinite God. Those who are concerned with chronology need look no farther than God's revelation in the book of nature. You have not only the book of nature, but you have the Bible. You have two revelations, and you want to make sure that you learn to read both of them. Here's something I'll do. I actually wrote about this. I'll dig out what I've written on this. Do Genesis 1 and 2 contradict each other? And I'll send it to you if you hang on. Okay, and you can use it with your professor. You can kind of internalize the information and use it with your professor.
Thank you so much.
You got it. And of course, the professors have gone wild, and we do have to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you want to get a question answered in the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. We've taken a step of faith this month. We've gone a lot of stations. We need your support. Please stand with us. You can hear during the broadcast, lives are being changed. Be a part of the process. Check it out at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.